As we give, more comes upon us and we are filled. We're giving and God begins to fill. And it doesn't happen all of a sudden. And a lot of times the people to whom you are giving give nothing back. But as sure as you plant a seed type and it yields that type, as sure as that, you will get back. Maybe not from them, but from another, you will get back. As sure as that, whatever a man sows, this he will reap. It is a fact of life. That's the way it's going to happen. So we are going to wrap up the book of Galatians today. And then I'll tell you where we're going to go after this. I haven't told anybody, so it's a surprise. All right, so we're in verse 7. We covered a little bit of this last time, but we're going to continue to talk about this in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. See what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand. Those who desire to make good a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. So in verse 7, he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. We covered a little bit of this last time, but let's continue in this. Do you worry if you plant a kernel of corn, that from that kernel of corn might rise up, might rise an apple tree? Would you ever worry about that? Probably not. Would you ever worry that if you plant roses, that from that location, from those roses, would come up an oak tree? You never worry about that. As sure as we are that of the seed that we plant, that type of fruit will come forth, as sure as it as that, he says. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. Let's reflect on that for a moment. Whatever we sow in life, that we will also reap. Now, what would you think of a man who planted a kernel of corn and put some water on it and waited 10 minutes staring at it and got frustrated? How come nothing's happening? I put it in the ground. I put water on it. What's going on here? I'm going to give it another 5 minutes. What would you think of that man? What would you think of it? It doesn't happen overnight. I Googled because I wanted to know how long, because I'm not an apple farmer, from the time you even plant a sapling, a little apple sapling, apple tree sapling, till the time it bears fruit is 4 to 8 years, depending on the type of apple. And that's from the sapling and not from the seed. So think about that. 4 to 8 years. We don't get away with anything in life. Nothing do we get away with. Everything has ramifications, but it doesn't happen overnight. But sure enough, whatever we plant, this is what we're going to yield in life. Whatever we go around planting, whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. He says, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. The one who sows to his own flesh. If we are doing things for ourselves all the time, for my own flesh, for my own good, we're going to reap corruption. That's what he says. Just as sure as planting a kernel of corn is going to yield corn, and remember that one kernel is going to give you thousands of kernels of corn. The principle of sowing and reaping is you get back much more than what you give. The same principle is going to hold here. We get back much more than what we give. And so there are things that happen in lives as a result of things that we have planted. Let me read you a portion that sounds somewhat similar to this. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 through 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 16. Or do you not know the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, the two shall become one flesh. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. He says, you know, when a man is joined to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her. And you may say, oh, there's nothing emotional here. There is plenty going on. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. I remember when I was right around your age, I heard a talk by a man named Winky Pratney. Has anyone heard of Winky Pratney? Anybody here? Oh, famous evangelist. About 5 years ago, he came to my office as an old man. But I heard a talk by Winky Pratney, and he was expounding on this, that when you have sex with an individual, you become one with that individual. You'll always look at them differently, always. 10 years later, you'll look at them differently, and they will look at you differently. There's something that happens, because you give a part of yourself away, emotionally and spiritually, you give a part of yourself away, and you've lost it. Now, if you are in a marriage relationship, that is an investment. That is an investment in an individual with whom you're living your life with. If you do these things outside of marriage, you are giving part of your life away. And you become one with her. Can you imagine? I mean, the Bible says this isn't even a girlfriend, even a prostitute. Whoever joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her. When a woman gives of herself to a man, she is giving a part of her life away, a part of her emotions away. And she will remember that for the rest of her life. For the two shall become one flesh. The two become one flesh? With a prostitute, the two become one flesh? That's what it says. But he who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. You give a part of your life to the other, and the same in the spirit when we give ourselves to the Lord. He says, verse 18, flee immorality. Flee. So we don't mess around with this stuff. Don't even be found alone in the apartment with another individual like that. Don't even be found. There are many places where you can study with another person. Many places where you can study. You can go to a coffee shop. You can go, I'm in this new building, the O'Connor building. Lots of little tables you can sit at and study with somebody. No one's going to bother you. You're just right there. But I'll bet if you're sitting at that table studying together that nothing physical is going to happen, at least not much. All right? He says, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? You see, we're no longer our own. It's not up to us anymore. If you've given your life to Christ, we are no longer our own. We've been bought with a price, and we're to glorify God in our body. This is why he says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." If we're always doing things for ourselves, it's going to be corruption. And then in verse 9, he says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." Don't lose heart in doing good. Don't lose heart in doing good things for other people. You say, look, you know, I've done like 3 good things for them, and they haven't done anything back. Well, you planted that kernel of corn, and you've waited 10 minutes. Your expectation is wrong. He says, let us not lose heart in doing good. So in other words, if he's warning us to let us not lose heart in doing good, that means that it is possible to lose heart in doing good. It is possible to stop doing good. And he says, don't lose heart. Continue to do good. And he says, don't lose heart in doing good. Because when we're doing good for somebody else, rather than always for ourselves, it in the long run, it lifts us up. You never saw Mother Teresa on the psychologist's couch saying, when is somebody going to do something for me? When am I going to, you know, when's my time to receive? Haven't I done enough? No, when you're giving out, and that woman just exuded love. I mean, she would get up and just speak to people about just the love of Jesus. That woman just was dripping with love. As we give, more comes upon us and we are filled. We're giving and God begins to fill. And it doesn't happen all of a sudden. And a lot of times the people to whom you are giving give nothing back. But as sure as you plant a seed type and it yields that type, as sure as that, you will get back. Maybe not from them, but from another, you will get back. As sure as that, whatever a man sows, this he will reap. It is a fact of life. That's the way it's going to happen. He says, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time you will reap if you do not grow weary. If you don't give it enough time, you can't reap. I'm tired of planting this corn. I mean, I've sat here for a week and nothing's happened. Then I planted those apple seeds over there. I've been waiting for years and nothing's happened. I think I'll just go back to being a nomad. I'll just walk around. Forget this farming. This doesn't work. He says, in due time, you will reap if you do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So he says in verse 9, do not lose heart in doing good. In verse 10, while we have opportunity, let us do good. While you have opportunity, do good. Your backs are strong, your eyes are young, do good. Serve, help others. Do good. Carry baggage for people, move furniture for people. While your backs are good, there's going to come a time you can't do that anymore. And then there's going to come a time where you're so physically decrepit, it's very hard to go out and do good. You know, your knees are going to give out, your hips are going to give out, your eyes are going to be filled with cataracts, and things are going to happen. That happens to everyone. That happens to everyone. It can happen on all sorts of occasions. Accidents can happen. We don't know